Welcome back. Final hour before the Memorial Day weekend, and this is being brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. We all have a multitude of insurance needs. We also need to make sure that we're fully covered while also saving money. That's Purdy Insurance's job. They're the best at it. Customer service means everything to them, which means your needs mean everything to them. And don't forget about the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, Wednesday, August 7th, to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. And you can check that out and get your team together, play, and make a difference. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. It is always fun to talk football with the Hall of Famer Ray Dinninger. Ray, Eagles made a lot of moves, great draft. What were some of the key moves in your mind?
The big signing, obviously. But they also got Bryce Huff from the Jets, a promising young player. And then they went into the draft with very specific needs, and boy, they addressed them in a big way. And, you know, Howie Roseman did what he always likes to do, which is move up and down the board, wheel and deal. And he came out of it with what I thought were some really good players, and also added like three draft picks for next year. I mean, yeah. It's really. I mean, he is a he's a master of playing the draft board. He really is. And you know, listen, some years are better than others. I mean, there's some years that he wheels and deals and comes away with Jalen Reagor.
Right. Exactly.
And then there are other years where he does the same thing and he winds up making a big trade and he gets Devontae Smith. So nobody's perfect in this business, but he's better than most. And I thought this was really one of his best drafts.
We are in an era where people want to see Ray everything right away now. Let's get success. Allowing something to play out doesn't seem to be the norm, but how important is it to keep the perspective, at least I do, of you need a couple of years to really figure out whether it really was a good draft or not?
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, that's very true. And the point that you make about the fans don't want to hear about, you know, well, this is going to be a really good, we need 2-3 years to evaluate this player. You know, there is a lot of truth in that. I mean, coaches will tell you there is a lot of truth in that. But the fact of the matter is, you know, the Eagles are a good team with very specific immediate needs. And so this draft had to have that. You know, in this draft, you know, it's fine to go draft a developmental kind of player like Hunt, who they got with their third pick.
Right. Yeah.
But right now, I mean, you need guys that can line up and play and keep you in the mix for, you know, maybe winning the conference, maybe going to a Super Bowl. I mean, this is a team that was 10-1 mid-season last year, and then fell off a cliff the second half of the year because they couldn't stop anybody. And they had the worst secondary in the league by the end of the year. Well, you know, you still got a lot of those good players on offense, and you've added to it with Barkley. But you're not going to go anywhere unless you improve your defense. So that's what the Eagles did in this draft. I mean, and they drafted with the idea that we got to get better in that area, like right now, to maximize the prime of our offensive players, and they have a lot of good ones. But you know, we're not going to be a serious contender if we run out the same defense that we had at the end of last year. We got to get better, like, right away. And I think they did that. You know, I mean, Quinion Mitchell and Cooper DeJean were my 1-2 cornerbacks in the draft, and the Eagles came away with both of them. Now, if you had told me the day before the draft or the morning of the draft that they were going to be able to pull that off, I would have said no way. If they get one of them, that's a coup. To get both of them,
yeah.
I mean, I thought it was pretty amazing. I think those are two guys that are going to come in, and I think they're both going to be starting week one.
And watch Cooper return punts, too. Obviously, I've done enough Penn State-Iowa games in my career. The guy's a player. I mean, I thought that was a second-round steal. Also, the one area where Howie didn't have to make a move was actually in the first round. Because the first 14 players were chosen were offensive players. So the player he needed fell to him, which is also part of the art of the draft as well. What did you think about the offensive trend in the first half of the draft?
Well, you're right. this worked out perfectly for the Eagles. This worked out perfectly for the Eagles because we all knew well ahead of time before the draft that the way things were going to play out. I mean, the early part of the draft was going to be all about the quarterbacks, and then the next big run was going to be on wide receivers, and then the next big run was going to be on offensive tackles. And frankly, none of those were areas where the Eagles needed to get involved. Right. You know, so they could let all of the teams that needed that go big game hunting there for the first dozen picks or so. And the whole time that they're doing that, and everybody's getting all around the country is getting all excited watching TV, watching all these quarterbacks come off the board, the Eagles are just sitting there saying, man, this is great for us. Because every defensive player on the board is getting pushed further and further down and getting closer and closer to us. Now, I think we all kind of fully foresaw that. But I still thought if Quinyon Mitchell was the guy they were targeting, and I don't know if apparently he was. I didn't talk to Howie, or Howie was certainly never told me. But I thought he was the best corner. And if the Eagles were thinking about drafting him, even the fact that all these defensive players are getting pushed further and further down the board, I never thought that he was going to get to 22. Never, ever. So if he was their guy, I thought, okay, you know what Howie's probably going to have to do here is, you know, he's going to have to take one of those second round picks that he's got, package it with 22, and move up to, say, 13, 14 to get Mitchell. If that's who he really wants, he's not going to get him sitting at 22. Well, he did.
Yeah.
He did. Mitchell falls to 22, so he gets him at 22, and now he's in a position in the second round where he can package those two second round picks and trade up high enough to get DeGene. You know, I know you saw a lot of DeGene in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
But I mean, to me, I think he's a real quality player with tremendous versatility. I think he will be an immediate hit with Vic Fangio and his defense, the way he likes to move people around and play them multiple roles. I mean, that's exactly what DeGene is.
Yeah.
And if it had worked out that if they had gotten DeGene at 22,
yes.
If like let's say Mitchell had been off the board, let's say somebody had jumped ahead of the Eagles and gotten Mitchell, okay, that would have been a blow. But if they had come away at 22 with DeGene, I would have said, hey, that's great. You know, I would have been happy with him at 22, but to get Mitchell at 22 and DeGene at 40, I mean, that was really, I mean, a little bit of luck, but you know, I got to give Howie a lot of credit. I think he played it just right.
I didn't see him play in person. I only saw him practice one time. It was, and that's Will Shipley from Clemson. And I thought the value of that pick, that stuck out to me on a positive side. What did you think of that pick?
I liked it. I thought they had a need there. I thought there were two offensive needs. Well, maybe more than that. But there were a couple of offensive needs that they felt they had to address. One was a backup running back, kind of a utility guy.
Yep.
You know, Saquon's going to be the guy. I mean, Saquon's going to get the bulk of the work, and he should. But they weren't going. It was pretty clear they weren't bringing Boston Scott back. Kenneth Gainwell, who's been here for a couple of years, I mean, he's okay, but that's about all he is. But they needed another guy, a guy that could come in and, you know, and spell Barkley and become a bit of a third down threat and a guy that could do multiple things. And, you know, I thought Shipley could give them that. So I thought he was a good fit there. And the other thing that they needed was they really needed a slot receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got the two outstanding wide receivers in Smith and Brown. I mean, that might be the best pair in all of the NFL, I think, those two together.
Agreed.
But they really didn't have, they like to play 11 personnel a lot. You know, one running back, one tight end, three wide receivers. That's, you know, Sirianni, his playbook leans heavily that way. Well, okay, if you're going to play 11 personnel, then that third receiver, you need a third receiver who can really contribute in the slot. And they were hoping that Quez Watkins would be that guy, but they gave him a full chance at it. It just didn't work out. So that was one other thing you were looking for in the draft. And there were some good slot receivers in this draft. There really were. Now, the kid that they took from Texas A&M, Smith, is he's had sort of a truncated career at Texas A&M. He's had a lot of injuries. He's kind of been in and out. Every time he starts to play really well, something sets him back. But he's got a lot of ability. And you know, it'll see how well he adjusts to the NFL. But those were two needs that they had. And you know, I feel confident that Shipley can be a guy that can contribute right away. Mm-hmm. And Smith, they're hoping he will, but he might need a little more time.
Okay, so we see how the draft is today. You know, it's gone to Philadelphia. It was wild, tremendous, raucous. Now it was Detroit, where they had several hundred thousand eventually watching over 3 days. Do you remember covering your first draft as a reporter, and what was it like?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It was 1970.
Yep.
And I was a 23-year-old, just new on the pro football beat, covering the Eagles. And the NFL draft was nothing. I mean, it was nothing. I mean, we had the Eagles did it, and they ran the draft out of the press room. In 1970, they weren't even in Vet Stadium yet. They were doing it from the team's headquarters, their offices, which were at the, which were in the Philadelphia Bulletin building. I was working for the Philadelphia Bulletin, and the Eagles had the entire first floor. So they were doing the draft. The Eagles were literally drafting out of my building in 1970, and it was all the media, and it wasn't that much. I mean, it was maybe a dozen guys. We were all gathered in one kind of room that was about the size of a closet, and there was no TV coverage, obviously.
Right.
And so we just sat there, and you know, every 2 hours or 3 hours, the team's PR guy would walk into the room and say, okay, in the third round, we just drafted so-and-so. And he would come in and he would distribute like one mimeograph sheet of information on that guy. And that was it, you know, and okay, I'll be back and I'll see you in 4 hours when we pick again. That was the draft. And the story, you know, your story would, you know, you might make the first page of sports, you might not. But most of it was just the Agate stuff that ran on the along with the baseball box scores, like all these names in little type that nobody paid much attention and nobody really cared. I mean, when ESPN was launched at the end of the 70s, and they decided that we're going to televise the NFL draft, that changed everything.
Yeah.
I mean, that changed everything. And that spawned, you know, the whole Mel Kiper phenomenon, and then all the, you know, all of the people that wanted to be Mel Kiper, and then, you know, all the draft publications, and it became this thing that it is now, which I look at it and I just marvel. You know, people talk about how the Super Bowl has grown, and it has. I mean, Super Bowl has grown ridiculously. But I always say that Super Bowl is nothing compared to the way the NFL draft has grown.
Right.
You started with something that literally nobody paid any attention to something that pulls in ridiculous numbers on TV on multiple networks. It is an amazing thing. But you know, that's the NFL. I mean, they are the master marketers of sports. I mean, they're the master marketers of anything, to be honest with you. I mean, they have structured everything in their world so perfectly that they never are out of the news cycle. I mean, you have the football season is what it is. It goes through. Then you have the postseason, which takes you up to the Super Bowl. Then you have your post-Super Bowl where everybody's just talking about the game and the TV ratings and stuff. And then within 1 week, it's free agency. So free agency dominates the whole conversation for the next month.
Yep.
And then you're right into the pre-draft. You know, it's the combines. It's the pro days. Then you go to the draft. Then you go into the mini camps. And then the OTAs. And that's the offseason. Then there's the release of the schedule. Oh, my God, more primetime programming. And they're going to tell they're going to release the schedule. And then they're at training camp, and then they're into the season. I mean, it is just so amazing. And it hasn't happened by accident. I mean, it's been very well planned by the people on Park Avenue. But to compare the NFL of today with what I started covering in 1970, I mean, to me, I stand back and I just look at it and marvel.
Well, you would have loved to have been sitting next to me on the defensive team bus going to a Peach Bowl practice, and Jack Ham is sitting there, and he's talking to the defensive players about what the draft was like in his era. And he said, you know, I played in a couple All-Star games, and then a couple weeks later they had the draft, and I found out. And they looked at him, and they were like, well, what do you mean? What about the combine? He said, there was no combine. what about pro day? There was no pro day. And they're looking at him like, you have to be kidding me. Like, that's impossible. And they have taken something where they hand a card and read a name and turned it into millions watching it.
Yeah, I know. Well, Steve, that's a funny story about Jack. And, you know, I remember the Eagles had a scout that really loved Jack Ham. I mean, he had scouted him at Penn State and loved him. And he was really pounding on the desk with the coaches, to take Jack Ham when Jack came out, and the Eagles passed on him. And he was just furious. I mean, he came into the room where the reporters were, where we were, and just was livid. And because he had been telling us all during the season how he loved Jack Ham. And he said, I was just pounding on the table in there for Jack Ham. He said, and they wouldn't take him. They said, he's too small. And he said, that guy's going to be a great player. Well, he sure was right. Yeah. But the story I was going to tell you was, Ron Jaworski tells a great story about the day he was drafted. He was in the dormitory at Youngstown State. he didn't even know the draft was going on. So he's in his dorm room with his roommate, and there's one payphone at the end of the hall. And the phone rings, and this exchange student from Belgium picks it up, mm-hmm. and answers the phone and hollers down the hall. He said, "Who? Huh? Who calling? Okay, wait." And he, you know, puts his hand over the phone and hollers, Jaworski, Los Angeles Rams on the phone." And Ronnie like jumps out of the bed, goes sprinting down the hall and gets the phone, and sure enough, it's Jack Faulkner calling from the Rams to tell Jaws that he was their second round draft pick. But I mean, it was such an incidental kind of thing, and he didn't even know the draft was happening that day. So now you compare that to what you have now, you know, with, what did they have, 200,000 people attending the draft?
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, I mean, you look at it now, and I just shake my head. It's just hard. And, you know, all the guys from that time, all the guys that actually remember what it was like back in the day, like Jack Ham, like Ron Jaworski, I mean, they're just as amazed as you and I are.
Well, and Bud Tallman, and of course, you know Bud from all those years he was with the Bills in the NFL. And, of course, Bud worked here at Penn State for a long time. The Bills draft Ahmad Rashad. Well, they have to call him. So they call him. And this woman answers. They say, is Ahmad there? And she says, what? Who? Ahmad. Ahmad? She says, Ahmad Rashad. And she finally says, oh, for goodness sakes. Bobby, get over here. It was his mother. Right? Bobby Moore was his name.
It was Bobby Moore, then, right? Yeah. Exactly.
Says, who? Mom didn't know who it was.
I remember 1971 in the seventh round. And, you know, you're getting down in the draft, and the Eagles were not a good team. And the seventh round, who cares? And the PR guy, Jimmy Gallagher, comes walking into this little room where we're all cooped up waiting for the press release. And he comes in and he says, okay, we just made our seventh round pick. It's a wide receiver from Southern University. His name's Harold Carmichael. And he hands out this little mimeograph sheet with you know, like about five lines of information on it. And I look at it and I say, hey, Jimmy, I said, there's a mistake here. He says, what do you mean? I said, you've got him down to 6 feet eight. There are no 6 foot eight wide receivers. And he said, yeah, I know. He said, but we called and we checked at the university. I called Southern and they said, yeah, the guy's really 6 foot eight. Now, you know, I mean, who knows? Maybe he's not. Maybe they're lying. But that's what they told us. It's not a typo. That's what they told me. So, I mean, that was how little we knew about Harold Carmichael.
Oh, goodness. You and I could go around on this for a long time. This is a lot. That's a lot of fun. Ray, thanks so much. I always appreciate every minute I spend with you. Thanks so much.
So, always a pleasure, Steve. Call me anytime.
You bet. Thanks.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
He is just the best. Ray Dettinger, the Hall of Famer. Hall of Fame guy to talk to and Hall of Fame information. He is the best. You can tell the two of us just have fun talking to each other.
This half hour has been brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com, the best in customer service. Coming up next half hour, we'll talk with Sean Fitz on 3.com on Penn State Recruiting here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.